going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal, Spaz Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check, and here we are to talk about the WWE Draft 2024, Night 1. Don't worry, later on this weekend, you will be getting a preview for Night 2 of NXT. What is it? Spring Breaking, dude! But we're going to do that later. This happened tonight on SmackDown. It's going to continue on Monday. I'm going to talk about things really briefly, and, you know, good way to snake bite the podcast right off the bat, but I'm planning on this being a short podcast. Let's see how things go. Famous last words. SmackDown, regular episode of SmackDown with the draft branding, basically. Somebody can shoot me in the face, I really don't care. The way that they did the WWE logo for the draft, with the half red, half blue, with the yellow swish for the three brands, I put it down in the box below. I want to know what you guys think, or hit me up on X at Spaz Phoenix. I would love to know. I wouldn't mind that. I'm not advocating that they change the WWE logo, but I am saying if they do change the WWE logo, it's not terrible. Is it obviously to take off the word draft? Somebody actually called me on that on X. I'm like, oh, so you just wanted to say draft every day? I'm like, no, you're just an idiot and a troll. Anyways, but we have to balance out the fact that it is a regular episode of SmackDown, and it's the draft, and it's the penultimate episode of SmackDown before they go to, Lyon, France, for Backlash. It's going to be time-shifted. SmackDown, as well as the, Backlash, is it not. So this is the first, or I should say the last, regular SmackDown before Backlash, but it's not even regular, because it's the draft. Yes, I've spoken in circles quite enough. We open up the show with Cody arriving, with AJ Styles arriving. We get told by voiceover by Corey Graves that there's going to be a contract signing tonight, and then we see Jade and Bianca arriving at the arena. Yay! We get a rundown of the rules. The rules are SmackDown gets to choose first in the rounds tonight because it is SmackDown. Raw will get to choose on their night as well. There's four rounds tonight. There's six rounds on Monday Night Raw. They show the two war rooms, Adam Pearce and his team, Nick Aldis and his team. They have a quick word with Paul Heyman to let the crowd know that Roman Reigns has removed himself from the draft pool. I don't know how you do that exactly. But in Paul Heyman's words, it's like, well, it would be a shame to waste the number one draft pick. Well, they did waste the number one draft pick, spoiler alert. But it would be a shame to waste the number one draft pick on Roman Reigns because he's going to be away for a while. So, you know, it'll be very interesting to see who the number one draft pick is. The number one draft pick is a shitty one. Just saying. And then they cut to the performance. I really like this. I'm a softy and I'm an NXT guy, but I really like this. They show live from the Performance Center, everybody in the stands, everybody sitting around the ring, everybody sitting in the ring. It's everybody from NXT. Well, almost everybody from NXT. And they're watching the draft, and they're getting the news sort of in real time. And I thought it was, I mean, it's not brand new news to them, is it? But it's a nice little extra thing. Like, it's the closest thing we have in wrestling to a graduation ceremony, is it not? When somebody gets called up to the main roster, now that we're in a new era and you don't have to worry about going up to the main roster being a death sentence, it's kind of a graduation ceremony. Come get your certificate, etc., etc. Okay. So we go to the contract signing first. I thought we were going to start off right with some picks, but I was wrong. Corey Graves is in the center of the ring to host the contract signing between AJ Styles and Corey Graves. And let me tell you something that probably only matters to me. They didn't do the typical thing where there's a belt on the table and there's the host and there's two guys sitting on either side of the table and eventually the table gets flipped and roddy, roddy, rah. They had a table for Cody, and then a podium for the belt, and then a table for AJ Styles. And it doesn't sound like much, but it is. It had a little bit of a debate feel to it. And I know other places, other companies have tried to do mock debates to interesting degrees of success with random pieces of fruit, but we don't need to go there. This had a little bit of that, and there wasn't much physicality, and in all honesty, the verbiage in this promo was what it was. AJ Styles does what everybody who faces Cody Rhodes does. Hey, I got a lot of respect for you, you know, this and that. You know, I really respected your dad. Your dad helped me a lot. Cody Rhodes had to remind him that, yeah, the contract says Rhodes, but there's a CODY in front of it. And, you know, this isn't just my first defense. This is a must win. And there was a whole lot of nothing. It was a whole lot of, is there tension here or not? Cody Rhodes mentioned the fact that AJ Styles has been there before and he hasn't. AJ Styles mentioned the fact that the belt might be a little too heavy for Cody to hold, with heavy implications of him not being a world champion before. There's a little, like, it was almost friendly jousting, if I can put it that way. There's a handshake, and it's, you know, the handshake lingers a little bit longer than you think it would, and then AJ leaves. Cody's heading up the ramp, and as Cody's coming up the ramp, the Triple H music hits. Triple H meets him in the rampway, gives him a handshake, and says, do you mind hanging out for a second as they go to the podium? Now, here's where we got a little preview of what the layout of the night was going to be, because I thought Pierce was going to come out and make some picks, and then Aldis was going to come out and make some picks, etc., etc. It wasn't firmly established, but it wasn't. It was Triple H out to make the first set of announcements, and he asks Cody Rhodes to stay out there with him, because, as we laid out in the rules, all the champions are locked into their brands already, except for the women's tag team champions, because they're defended on all three shows. And then everything's going to lock into place the Monday after Backlash. So Cody is a SmackDown guy. He's locked in as a SmackDown guy because he's the champion. He might as well stay and make the announcement of some of the picks, etc. So let's get into the picks, because the picks are a mixed bag, I'm not going to lie. The number one pick in the draft is... Number one pick in the draft. Not only is it Bianca Belair, but the number one draft pick is Bianca Belair is staying put on SmackDown. First of all, Bianca Belair, fuck off. Second of all, it's counter-exciting to say that she's staying on SmackDown. Equally so, Jay's staying on Raw. Seth Rollins is staying on Raw. Big news out of round one is Carmelo Hayes, who's already had a couple of practice rounds on SmackDown, is now officially confirmed to be the SmackDown guy, which is awesome, fantastic. He comes out, he's the only one from NXT who actually was backstage at NXT, or sorry, at SmackDown tonight, conveniently enough. He comes out, he gives a little bit of a speech, you know, round one, superstar, da-da-da-da-da, if I'm going to aim somewhere, I'm going to aim right for you, and he points at Cody Rhodes. He heard a lot, and Cody has overused the phrase, now, if you come at the king, you best not miss, well, I'm Carmelo Hayes, and when I shoot, I don't miss. Cody Rhodes makes a joke about, ah, man, I didn't bring my gear tonight, because wrestlers know, always bring their gear. There's a handshake later on in the night. It's confirmed that they are actually going to have a match tonight. It's going to be our main event. Not at all offensive. Like, if this is to set the tone for the night, yeah, you got three out of four people just staying put, but the fourth was Carmelo Hayes. And Carmelo, if you guys have even looked at a lick of NXT or heard me talk about a lick of NXT, I love Carmelo Hayes. Trick Williams is the one in the spotlight on NXT right now, but that's fine because Carmelo Hayes is no longer on NXT. This is fantastic and a great way to set up a main event. Brand new guy steps up to the roster. You gotta remember, Carmelo Hayes, when he won the NXT breakout tournament, when he first entered the company, his second match was with Adam Cole. And if you remember who Adam Cole was to NXT at the time, he's basically replicating that here. You know, if you're the new kid on the schoolyard, you walk up to the biggest, baddest looking bully and punch him in the face, you know, set your stall out right away. I thought this was absolutely fantastic. After a first round of, okay, Jay's staying put, Rollins is staying put, Belair is staying. Also, I saw a lot of people thinking it was really strange that Jay got drafted before Rollins. I don't think so, because Jay is, you know, he's being pushed towards a title at the moment, but also he's going to be more focused on than Rollins, because Rollins is off, you know, taking some well-deserved rest and also healing from, like, everything that's broken in him. So I didn't mind that in the slightest. Belair stays on SmackDown, fine, whatever. Rollins will have a place on Raw when he comes back. The one thing I will say, and I don't know why I mean, I do know why Seth Rollins made me think of this. Apparently CM Punk was advertised for tonight. I'll give you a little spoiler. There was no CM Punk tonight, unless he showed up after the cameras stopped rolling, but then I wouldn't know, would I? Face-to-face with Cody Rhodes and Carmelo Hayes, challenge gets accepted. We're going to see that match later on tonight. The LWO versus Legado del Fantasma. This feud must continue. To be fair, it was Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio taking on Angel and Umberto in a tag match, and it was pretty class, I'm not gonna lie. The faces get the win. Dragon Lee is awesome. Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee actually work really, really well as a tag team, and I don't know why I'm acting surprised by that, because I'm not. Plus, Angel and Umberto are always stigmatized as guys that are just kind of there. They've been in several different versions of guys that are just kind of there, and now under Santos, they just come off as like Santos's goons, but then they get a match like tonight with guys like Dragon and Rey who can bring it out of them, and they had a pretty decent match. The faces get the win. I can read my own writing, I promise. Santos Escobar comes out after the match and basically cuts a promo like he's been doing in the back the past couple of weeks. Hey, I'm a lot of things, I've done a lot of dastardly things, but the one thing I did not do was attack Dragon Lee before WrestleMania. Carlito is in the corner of Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio for this match. I forgot to mention that because I'm rambling now. And he says, Electro Lopez has gone to a lot of hard work and a lot of scrounging to get some backstage video footage. And it's awesome because not only is it Carlito absolutely blindsiding and bulldozing Dragon Lee, he leaves out the door and comes back in. Oh my God, buddy! Somebody help my buddy! It's absolutely great. It's almost as amusing as CM Punk kicking the shit out of Jungle Twink, but not quite. We see the security footage. Carlito has this, aw shit, I'm caught look on his face. Backstabbers Dragon Lee and then throws him face to face with Rey and then runs out of the building like he's terrified. Which is just kind of funny if you see, like, friggin' current day 2024 jacked Carlito running from, let's be real, some little guys. Also, this is an audio platform, so this isn't going to help you guys at all. My brother just came back from Mexico recently and brought me a luchador mask, which is really cool. It does not fit my fat head, which is unfortunate, but it's still cool nonetheless, and I have worn it because I'm a dork and I'm a wrestling fan like the rest of us. So that's really cool. That's kind of a bucket list item that I now have in what is very clearly not a bucket and more of a shelf. So it is a shelf list item. I don't know. Don't know where I was going with that, but I thought I would share it with you guys because I haven't talked to you in a little while. What did we have next? Oh, we have Bron Breakker killing Cedric Alexander in about 40 seconds, and I lol. We replay SmackDown from last week, Bayley and Naomi for the Women's Championship that was ultimately interrupted by Tiffany Stratton. Nick Aldis in the back announces that Tiffany Stratton and Naomi are going to have a number one contenders match tonight, and it was suggested by Bayley, who's also going to be on commentary, which is fine. We get some guest announcers for the rest of the night, for the rest of the draft pick announcements, and I thought this was really cool. I really did. It doesn't mean much. I know there's some names that I'm going to read off later on down the line that are going to say it with me, say it loud, say it proud. It's going to piss off all the right people. But we started off with Michelle McCool and Tori Wilson, who doesn't hurt anybody's feelings whatsoever. But once again, Randy Orton stays on SmackDown. Fine, cool. We'll see why that's cool a little bit later on. Bron Breakker to Raw. Now, I think it's cool, because Bron Breakker's relatively new to the main roster in general, that we gave him a quick squash match against Cedric Alexander just before this, because, hey, let's remind you what this guy can do before we announce him as a big roster pick. Now, talking to our good buddy Jake DeMarco while the show was going on, and he suggested what a lot of people have suggested, that maybe they should have just saved it, because they didn't use him at WrestleMania, should they have saved his call-up until the draft and made it a big draft announcement. And I can see that point. And with all due respect to my sometimes co-host and all due respect to all of you out there that may be thinking the same thing, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think let the people that show up in the Rumble as their way of coming up to the main roster be a thing. Let them sort of mingle around a little bit. They did that story where Andrade and Jade and Braun were like sort of picking where they went. So you could see right off the bat that general managers fighting over them makes them desirable commodities, if that makes sense. And when you build that stock in them for the main roster audience that doesn't watch NXT, even though you should watch NXT, then them being shuffled around the board means a little bit more than them just being thrown on the board for the first time. That's just my take. If you see it from the other side, like I say, nothing but respect for my buddy Jake, obviously, but it's a idea that I've seen floating around X since it was announced on SmackDown. And I get where that's coming from. I get something with a bit more pop. Same thing with Carmelo Hayes. People have seen Carmelo Hayes a couple of times already. Hey, like, look, we've got a guest appearance for the night with this young guy from NXT, Carmelo Hayes. Let's see what he can do. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Then when he's added to the thing proper, people are already familiar with him. He's already passed the, okay, kid, show us what you can do phase. So his announcement is a proper announcement. I'm really drilling this into the ground, but I just want you to know why I like the way they've done what they've done. Nia Jax is moving to SmackDown. Fine, we'll get into that a little bit more in a second. And Liv Morgan is staying on Raw, presumably to feud with Becky Lynch until Rhea Ripley comes back, but I'm projecting a little bit. Before we go into the back, we see a replay of Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa beating the shit out of Kevin Owens. And how? And then in the back, Solo Sikoa arrives in the arena, yells at Paul Heyman for not opening his door properly, which is what Paul Heyman used to do for Roman Reigns. Nice little tie-in there. And he says, you know, update me. Clearly the bloodline's already been drafted. And he says, well, no, the bloodline's not been drafted. Well, how come we haven't been drafted? Well, you know, things are kind of in flux with the bloodline right now. A general manager booking the bloodline doesn't really know what they're getting. Tama Tonga comes around the other side. Friggin' Paul Heyman proceeds to brick himself right then and there. And he says, why don't you say it again for Tama? But before Paul Heyman can say anything else, he's kind of mercifully saved by the surprise attack of Kevin Owens in the parking lot. Now, it's not NXT, but it's still a pretty dangerous parking lot to be in if you've got Kevin Owens, Solo Sikoa, and Tama Tonga in it. Is it not? If I was Paul Heyman, I'd be running. Now, this story continues, but of course we have to pull away from that to announce that Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill are being gifted a Women's Tag Team Championship match at Backlash in France. They do a really awkward and unnecessary prolonged pose-down, stare-down thing on the stage until Tama Tonga and Kevin Owens just brawl through them. Right through them, beautiful, right down the ramp to the ring. Solo Sikoa follows up, and they take out security, and they take out anybody else that's trying to keep them from beating the shit out of Kevin Owens, and then eventually there's a save by Kevin Owens, by Randy Orton of Kevin Owens. I ruined that part, didn't I? But Owens basically hugs Orton in this really, really comedically exaggerated way, and then, you know, what's left of the bloodline. Who are the bloodline right now? Because Roman Reigns is not in the draft. The Rock is gone. Jay left the bloodline a long time ago, and Jimmy is out injured, apparently for real. Apparently that beatdown that they gave him was to give him time to recover from some legitimate injuries. Now, I haven't looked much into that, I'm not going to lie. I haven't scoured the dirt sheet for Jimmy Uso injury reports, but if it was that table spot that they took off the ramp at WrestleMania, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest, would it? No, it would not. But yeah, Orton comes out to save Kevin Owens. I mean, it's as good a person as any to want to reinstitute a rivalry with the bloodline. Sure. Round 3 of the draft. And round 3 of the draft is announced by the Dudley Boys. Cue the people on X that are just hating on Bubba Ray Dudley. I don't watch or listen to Busted Open Radio. I don't, like, watch his show. I don't know. I couldn't even fully tell you what Busted Open Radio is, other than it's Bully Ray, and he says some unpopular things, and he's critical of both shows, but AEW only hears him being critical of them. And these are the same people that were upset that he was at WrestleMania when it was in Philadelphia, and the ECW history, and Paul Heyman going into the Hall of Fame, and the fact that he was guest refereeing a hardcore match, and the fact that he has a history with WWE, and hardcore matches, and Philadelphia, and Paul Heyman, and you can fuck off! But they were announced as the WWE Hall of Fame tag team, the Dudley Boys, and they were here to announce round three of the draft. They got Get the Tables chance. They got ECW chance. They put on the glasses. It was a good time for people who know how to have a good time. And here we go. LA Knight stays on SmackDown. Ricochet stays on Raw. The Bloodline stay on SmackDown. And they announced it as Sheamus has been drafted to Raw. But he just made his return on Raw, and he's been fighting on Raw, and he's been developing a new, like, friends become enemies thing with Drew on Raw. So, as far as I was concerned, like, he came back on Raw. He never showed up on SmackDown. If you make your comeback on one show, you're on that show. Now, if he's injured again, in 6 months he shows up on SmackDown, yeah, it's a little bit of a loophole, but I guess he's a SmackDown guy now, but Sheamus stayed on Raw, Ricochet stayed on Raw, Bloodline stay on SmackDown. Bloodline defined as Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Paul Heyman. That's what's left of the Bloodline. The Bloodline are a tag team now. Keep that in mind. I'd be terrified if I was A-Town Down Under, I'm not gonna lie. Then we get Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton in a number one contenders match for Bayley's WWE Women's Championship. It's a decent little match. I'm not gonna lie, that sounds condescending, but it's not. Naomi does Naomi things. This is not a dig at Naomi, I have to say that every time, but her new intro sucks. Her new intro is not as good as her intro when she was in WWE last, and it's trying really hard to be a WWE version of the intro that she had in TNA. Now, I don't mind the intro she had in TNA. It won't surprise you. Oh, Colin, it's just the guy that likes the TNA stuff. Well, I do like the TNA stuff, but yeah. But yeah, I know she's a great opponent for Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton already, even in the short time that she's been there, has already proven herself to be somebody that people want to underestimate, which is weird. The match was called off when Nia Jax attacked Bayley on commentary, so welcome to SmackDown, Nia Jax. It was a distraction enough for Naomi, who also got trucked on the outside. The match was called off, and once again, Tiffany Stratton gets back in the ring, drags Bayley into the ring, drags Naomi into the ring, and hits another double prettiest moonsault ever for Tiffany Stratton. We will get into the results of that in one moment, but another good showing for Tiffany. I think she's really great, and of course a lot of people are going to go, oh, of course you think she's great because of XYZ political label maker reason number 5 from X. In the back, Karrion Kross hijacks a camera to show us that AOP are beating the shit out of Bait and Dunn for reasons. They're going to fight next week in France, and it's going to be pre-taped and spoiled, and that, I'm pretty sure if anybody on the other side of the aisle that's hoping for WWE to have a ratings dip, it'll probably be next week on Friday when the show is pre-taped and all the data, all the responses and results are already out there for everybody to see. Now, round four, very, very quickly. Teddy Long and JBL. Cue people upset that JBL is still allowed to breathe oxygen, but whatever. AJ Styles stays on SmackDown. American Alpha stay on Raw. Andrade moves to SmackDown. I like this. They brought him to Raw to basically beat up Dominic Mysterio a little, and they haven't really done anything else with him, really, let's be fair. With the turning of Carlito, I think the one-time partnership of Andrade and Rey Mysterio is going to be more than a one-time thing, because you're going to get Rey, Andrade, and sorry, Rey, Andrade, Cruz, and Wild taking on Santos, Carlito, Umberto, and Angel at some point, aren't you? You know what? People will say I'm straying into hyperbole here, but if this, like, ever-changing landscape of the LWO and Legado del Fantasma makes it to War Games, I won't hate it. People will performatively hate it online, but I will not hate it. It's absolutely fine. The last cool thing, and it's our only other than Carmelo Hayes, it's our only other NXT call-up for the evening, to Monday Night Raw, is Kiana James. Now, we've all speculated on who's going to be getting called up to the main roster. Would it be Trick? Would it be Carmelo? Would it be Ilya Dragunov? Would it be Roxanne Perez, Lyra Valkyria? Braun Breaker had already kind of moved up, but was Baron Corbin going to move up with him, etc.? We had all these, like, you could probably list about 10 names in NXT that you wanted to see, like, move up in a heartbeat to either Raw or SmackDown. What I love about this is Kiana James isn't one of them. Like, she's never, I don't think she's ever been a champion, or she's been a tag team champion. I should take that back. She was a tag team champion with Fallon Henley. Fallon Henley is the other one I would have the exact same conversation with, although she was in mind because her and Dijak, if you follow those two on X, have been having a little trolling thing back and forth about the draft and what their new names would be, and Dijak saying, oh, I could tell you something about getting a bad rename on Raw and SmackDown. So they're having a bit of fun with that. Fallon Henley, another one, like, immensely underrated on NXT, but also one of the ones not in the title picture that's holding that division together. So I can see them leaving her down there for a little bit longer. Kiana James, her gimmick's a little weird. She's the businesswoman, and she comes out with the suit and the little handbag and all that kind of thing. It's kind of like Tiffany Stratton, where if you can get over the gimmick, she's fantastic in the ring. And it'll be really cool to see what she can do on the main roster, because she's coming up from the mid-card of NXT. She's not coming off of a women's championship run. It's not like, and I don't want to say this, but it's not like if they had brought up Roxanne Perez, who's been overdue for a call-up forever, where she was in the main event on NXT. She should be in the main event on Raw or SmackDown. Like, she's coming up from the mid-card. She's going to help fill out the mid-card on Raw and hopefully get a spotlight put on her sooner than later, but there's not that same weird sense or expectation of immediacy. And I think that's really cool. I think them pulling somebody out of the hat that I wasn't expecting for a call-up, when there's so many people that I want to see called up, was a nice, neat little twist to end round four, to end our picks for the evening. We cut to the back. Nick Aldis just does some quick admin. For Backlash, we're getting Bayley versus Tiffany versus Naomi. Classic number one contenders match, had no finish, so now it's going to be a triple threat match. But that's going to be an awesome triple threat match. And I'm sorry, Tiffany Stratton takes home that belt, I'm going to be smiling from here to here. And you can't see here or here because this is an audio platform, but trust me, it's a big smile. And also, we've got the in-ring debut of Tama Tonga as he teams with Solo Sikoa to take on Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Is this an exhibition to show us what Tama Tonga can do? Absolutely. Do I mind it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is going to be class. Solo Sikoa is slipping into this new head of the table role in the absence of Roman Reigns, which I think is really nice. It really is, and I know it's Triple H in charge now, so he's copying his own homework, but it really is starting to feel like when Austin beat Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania and Shawn Michaels went away and DX is like, okay, no, we're doing some new shit. Triple H brought in X-Pac. And your mileage on X-Pac may vary. By all accounts, he's a really good dude and he brings his dog to wrestling shows, so I'm not going to have anything against him. Solo Sikoa's version of X-Pac was Tama Tonga. Now, if you remember way, 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 way back then when Triple H brought in X-Pac, they ended off the evening by also bringing in the New Age Outlaws to sort of solidify Triple H's led DX. Now, Jacob Fatu, if you've been following the dirt sheets or whatever, again, I'm not going to say that I know much about Tama Tonga before he entered WWE, other than people that I respect were talking about Tama Tonga long before he came to WWE. Same thing with Jacob Fatu. Who was apparently at one point slated to make his debut tonight as well. don't know if that's been held off because of Jimmy's injury. I don't know if that's been held off because the story's been written differently, but that's fine. So, like, that'll be the New Age Outlaws come in at the end thing. Apparently, he and his brother are a tag team, so you can basically recreate what you had with the old Bloodline, where it was Roman, Solo, and a tag team. Now you can have Solo, Tama, and a tag team, still with Paul Heyman. It could all work, it could all be nonsense. I, as I said, not having too much experience watching Tama Tonga, I'm looking forward to this match, mostly to see what he can do, but also the way they're being presented. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton aren't going to lose a stitch by putting these guys over, and they're being presented as killers. So it's kind of awesome in that way. Our main event is Cody Rhodes versus Carmelo Hayes, and if you want to know how good this match was, I'm going to tell you once again, your main event was Cody Rhodes versus Carmelo Hayes. If you haven't watched Carmelo Hayes in NXT, I don't know why you haven't. If you haven't seen Carmelo Hayes on the couple of times that he has ventured up to SmackDown in the past, I don't know why you haven't. It was a great match. There was a really awkward spot near the end where they both came off the ropes at the same time. Cody looked like he was doing going for a Cody cutter. Carmelo Hayes looked like he was going for his version of some kind of cutter, and they both just fell. Like, they both missed each other and fell. Now, I don't know whether that was supposed to be, you know, when you do the running the ropes and they both guys go for a crossbody at the same time and they both go down. I don't know if this was supposed to be the miss version of that or whether they actually missed each other. Looks like Cody Rhodes fell down on his shoulder fucking hard, because he was struggling with that shoulder for the rest of the match and after the match when he was lifting his belt. But I will say, if he was selling, good for him. If he wasn't, 8 days away from his first pay-per-view title defense, I hope his shoulder's okay. I hope he doesn't come out with another broken titty. That would be sad. Oh, if you've played WWE 2K24, did you know there's a downloadable character on there that is branded as Elite Cody Rhodes? And it would be bizarre enough if it was an action figure of Cody Rhodes. It's like a full-size, life-size action figure that wrestles like a wrestler, right? So it's already Uncanny Valley because it's an action figure. But the action figure has the broken titty on it. That made me laugh, and they decided to call that the Elite version of Cody Rhodes, which made me smile. Really cool. Like, not a super long match, but a nice win for Cody. He's starting to sort of plant his feet in new ground on SmackDown. It's kind of weird for both of these guys in this match, because they're all kind of new. Cody's new to being champion. Cody has existed so long in WWE on finishing the story, and now the story is done, so now he's writing the next chapter. So he's kind of new in that regard. He's kind of new in being the champion. He's kind of new, let's be real, as being a SmackDown guy in general. And Carmelo Hayes, while we've seen him a couple of times on SmackDown, is also sort of new to officially being a main roster guy. So it was a show-out match for both of them. You know Cody wasn't gonna lose. But it was a great first day on the job for Melo, who got, you know, a pat on the shoulder and a handshake and a bunch of respect from Cody Rhodes, who once again turns around and AJ Styles is right there. And again, you think something's going to happen, and it doesn't really. They have another stern sort of stare down handshake thing. I don't know. Somebody online said, hey, I wonder if AJ Styles is going to mention that he had a match with Dusty Rhodes. Is that true? Is that a thing that happened? Somebody tell me down in the box below if that's a thing that happened. I don't really know. I thought I was going to be coming up here with all kinds of fireworks after the draft, because, you know, it's the first draft of the Triple H era. They did tweak a few things. Stabilizing the champions in their spots is a neat thing, because I think they wanted to avoid the possibility of people going online and saying, oh, they're going to do another belt swap, because that's the most terrible thing in the world. So that was different. Having the guest presenters is always a cool thing. It's always cool to see people get wound up when they see Bully Ray and JBL and people like that. Triple H coming out to make the first set of announcements and all that kind of thing. But hey, at least he wasn't taking a Meltzer driver, am I right? Yeah, the four big takeaways for me here is Braun going to Raw, Andrade coming to SmackDown, and Carmelo Hayes' call-up being made more official, and Kiana James coming up was a nice surprise as well. I'm assuming that she's going to have her debut match on the draft episode of Raw, so we'll have that to look forward to, and I don't really know. I think, right off the top of my head, I think you could get a good, decent first match like Kiana James versus Liv Morgan. Something like that. I don't think she's going to target a Becky Lynch or anybody like that right away, as she shouldn't. She's a mid-carder on NXT. Let her be a mid-carder on SmackDown. It's kind of unfortunate for her only in the sense that she's leaving as they're creating the NXT Women's North American Championship, so she could have held a mid-card title in NXT, but that's just a minor nitpick. Hey, do you want to hold this mid-card belt on the developmental show, or do you want to get your actual call-up to the dance, as Paul Heyman would say? I think she's doing all right. She was interviewed by Jackie Redmond shortly after her call-up was made, and I thought that was really nice. Shawn Michaels came out to give her a hug and wish her well and congratulate her and all that kind of thing, and that's a lot of feel-good stuff. A lot of this is just moving pieces around on the chessboard, but there's a couple of cool, interesting, like, moving parts things going on. The whole question of, hey, if we draft the Bloodline, who exactly are we drafting, was a nice, neat little monkey wrench to throw into tonight's story as well. I will say, kind of a bummer that somebody put it out there in the ether that CM Punk was going to be on this show tonight, and that wasn't a thing. So I was kind of waiting for that to happen. But, you know, you set yourself up with expectations. I think, not bad. Not a bad night one. Night two will obviously have more, because night two is going to have six rounds, and it's going to be the finale, and then we're going to have one really weird sort of Elseworlds SmackDown before the picks get locked in the Monday after Backlash. So, I'll leave it for now. I've rambled on for 35 minutes now. Let me know what you guys think of... Well, let me know what you guys thought of this episode of SmackDown. Let me know what you guys think of the draft. Let me know what you guys think of the only two NXT call-ups we've had so far, and anything else I've covered tonight. I will be back sometime next week to cover off night two, and I'll be back sometime over the course of this weekend to give you guys a preview of Spring Breakin' Night 2. I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation, keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you later, but right now I am tagging it. Bye, guys.